When God has given you plenty of money and big fancy houses, what do you do after that? Well, I'm going to tell you, because you're going to need to know this before you get all of that big stuff.
And now for Full Grace.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. And dear Father, I just pray right now, I just thank you for all that you have given. I thank you and I praise you for it. In thy son Jesus' name we pray, amen. And today I want to speak to you from the subject of full grace. Now, I'm not in a sermon series, but for some reason, for the last few sermons, I have talked about gratitude and being thankful and the blessings that come when you are thankful. And today, I want to talk to you about full grace. We're going to be speaking from Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Everyone was seated around the table as the food was being served at Grandma's house. Then the little boy, he received his plate. He started eating right away, but his mama said, wait a minute, we have to say our prayers first. That's what his mother was telling him, and he said, I don't have to. And she says, of course you do. You must say your prayers before you eat. He said, we always say a prayer before we eat at our house. And the little boy said, yeah, that's our house. But this is Grandma's house, and Grandma knows how to cook. Where does the saying grace come from? The word grace is applied to prayer over food always has been in pre-Elizabethan English the plural from graces. It means nothing but thanksgiving. It's derived from the Latin word gratium actio, and even the Italian is grazia. So when you go to Italy and they'll say grazia, they mean thank you. But grace essentially means thank you. While the word grace is most often tied to the definition of unmerited divine assistance or favor given to humans, it is historically connected to giving thanks to God before or after a meal. In a certain sense, this is not surprising, as the food we eat is often given to us through no effort of our own. Food is a great gift that sustains us and keeps us alive. And God is the ultimate creator of it all, providing everything that we eat. So our food can be seen as grace. And so it is fitting that we call giving thanks to God saying grace. When I preached the sermon a few weeks ago, don't get offended, I told the story of where I was sitting in a restaurant and a man corrected me because I was saying grace over my food, and I had my skull cap on. It was cool outside, and I was in my convertible, and I had my skull cap on. And he, you can go listen to the sermon, don't get offended. He basically told me I shouldn't be praying with a hat on. But the thing about it is this. I was the only person in that restaurant said grace over their food. Everybody else just went to eating. And if you will go to a restaurant, there are two things that you will notice. Number one, most of the folk are on their phone. Even if they are on a date, They're on their phone. So the phone takes precedence over relationship. That's why I say I stay off of social media, because this phone will take precedent even over your relationship. And folk can't even go out on a date and keep that phone down because they prioritize it. And there is psychological studies that have proven if you lay a phone on the table during a conversation, it can be off. But if you lay a phone on the table, it diminishes the quality of the interaction because both parties know this is a distraction and this takes priority. So if you're out on a date, if you're in a conversation, put the phone up. Don't even have it. And not only do folk not have it laying on, they just up there typing everything during the middle of the date. So two things. People don't pray, and they give priority and precedence to the phone. And half of the phones got an apple with a bite out of it. They give you the symbol right there. What do you think they got a bite out of it? Why not just a whole apple? It's got a bite out of it. It's what symbolizes it. When you read the first price of the first apple, it was $666. Now, I'm not condemning Apple because Android just is addictive. But Jobs told you up front where he was coming from. So you let a thing that got man kicked out of the garden and woman kicked out of the garden now take precedence and priority over your life. So at least while you're eating dinner or eating lunch or eating breakfast, put your phone up. Show respect to the other person whom you're with. And all the time, both of the folk just be there on the phone. They're on a date and both of them on the phone. So prayer is priority, not the phone. We got the wrong P as priority. So the man saw me saying grace with a hat on and then corrected me because of that. And when you go out to eat, notice the people who get their food and notice how many stop to say grace before they eat. Very, very, very few. But notice how many of them are on their phone. So we have given the apple with the bite out of it precedence over the Lord God. Most don't say grace over their food, but I want to change that habit for a minute to where not only that you say grace when you are hungry, but you say grace after you are full. Because that is what Deuteronomy commands you to do. See, God is trying to tell you what he is going to do for you, but he is also telling you what he wants you to do for him. Now, this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at that 8th verse, this is about food and money. That last one got y'all's attention. This is about food and money. I want you to listen to these verses very carefully. It's Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at the 6th verse. This is about food and money. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. He's bringing you into a good land, and he has already brought you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. How many of you are running short of being able to get food? Not a single hand. Now, how many of you are having struggles eating too much food because you got too much? Yeah, see, there's a whole bunch of, see, 2 out of 3 people in America are overweight. So we got a challenge with too much food. And this is what the Bible says, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. And that's one of the things that tell you to cut out if you're trying to lose weight, cut out bread. So we got bread and pasta and all, we just got meat, we just got stuff. We got food more than we can handle. We literally don't have room enough to receive all the food we got. That's another thing if you go out to a restaurant. When you leave, just look at how much food is left on people's plates. So they just eating up. They don't even have enough room to put it all. And you can go to a buffet, and you can eat all that you can eat. You can go back three or four times. You can eat all that you can eat. So we in America, it is a land of blessing. We have more food than we can handle. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. When you have eaten, Jesus went through a process of getting the bread, giving thanks to God, breaking the bread, and then giving. But God says, when you are full, you know, when we have gotten what we have wanted, our attitude changes. When we are hungry, it's different. Men, when they're in a relationship with their wives, it's a difference when you have sexual desire on you than after you have been satisfied. It's just a difference. It's a difference. Your whole spirit and vibe just somehow change. When you're hungry, it's different. When you're satisfied, all your focus changes. When you're full, you ain't thinking about saying grace because you're full. But this is when God tells you to say grace. After you are full, give thanks. And nobody, hardly anybody is saying grace hungry. So you know if they're not saying grace hungry, they're not saying grace full. But this is why you don't need to be a part of the average or part of the crowd. And I'm talking about most Christians. If you go in a restaurant and you watch how many people don't say grace before their food, and then you go and ask them how many of y'all are Christian, 90% of them are going to say they're Christian, but they're not praying before their food. They're not giving God thanks. So it has nothing to do with whether they're Christian or not. It just has something to do with they're not giving God thanks before or after. But this is another level. This is another level to thank God after you have gotten what you've asked for, after you are satisfied. I know with our company, and I remember back when I was starting the company, I said, Lord, if I can ever get this company where we're doing $1,000 a day, that's enough, and I'll be satisfied. Y'all ever said that? Where if you can get to a certain point, you'll be satisfied, and then you get to that point. And then all of a sudden, well, that was back then. And I remember, this is so, it's a lot of stuff has happened in the last few days just with revelation. I was up early this morning. I was on the bicycle, sweating and working out. And before I started, I said, Lord, I said, I want you to just speak. I went to Surprise Sermon. I went to surprisesermon.com. I followed the instructions. I pressed, I said, Lord, send me a message. And I pressed the button. And when I pressed the button, Pastor James's sermon started. But his sermon never started. It was when you were preaching and your high school graduation class was here. And I've never seen Surprise Sermon do this before. It started with Pastor James. He was giving the introduction and talking to the members of the class who were there. And all of a sudden, it switched to another sermon. It never happened. It switched to sermon 5507, and it was a sermon that I had preached, I don't know how long ago, called You Are Pre-Approved. And it went through a situation of, and this was after we had first gotten that big money that we got a few years ago. And it just showed me my faith and how it had been diminished. And how when I now all of a sudden had all this big money, my faith was little. You'll just have to go hear 5507 because I don't have time enough to explain it. But I explained in that sermon what happened to me. After I was full, my faith went down and my thanks went down. because I was satisfied. Do you know a satisfied person is a different? I remember with Rocky and, you know, his boxing series. He told him, he said, you lost the eye of the tiger. You're no longer hungry. And sometimes even with the kingdom of God, you got to be hungry. You got to be a man who is thirsty after the word and after the kingdom and after God. You got to be hungry for God. When you get satisfied, you get lazy. And 5507 just showed me just in a glimpse of how when God had blessed the church, my faith dropped to the bottom. And when I heard that and I listened to that sermon and I saw how God had been with me all my life, but we lose faith so quickly. Even the pastor does. After you are full, say your grace. After you fool. And after God has blessed you with all this. Well, Pastor, you said about the money. You ain't got no money yet. This food you're talking about. No. Verse 11. Well, let me read 10 again. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. You hear that? That's money. Silver and gold, no matter what the time period in history, that's money. So God is saying, look, when your crops and your herds and you got these big, beautiful houses and you living in and all your money has multiplied, when all of this has happened, you all say when all of this has happened. Now, I know some of you all are thinking it hadn't happened yet. Some of you all are thinking it hadn't happened yet, but see, God has to get you prepared, because if you are not prepared, this is what will happen. When your heart is lifted up. What do you mean when your heart is lifted up? When your heart is lifted up, that means when your pride swells. Because see, when you got all this stuff, when your gold and silver is multiplied, when your herds, and the herds in the old day, just talking about all of the business stuff that you own. You got all these buildings and all your stuff is big and your bank account is big. Then you got this big old house. You got this fancy old car. You're wearing, you got this fancy watch. This ain't no fancy watch. But when you got your fancy watch on your arm and all this kind of stuff, when you got all of this stuff, you're wearing fancy clothes and jewelry and all this stuff. Your hair's fancy. Your nails fancy. You got all this fancy stuff. Then your heart is lifted up. And you become proud. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You forget where he brought you from. You forget where you used to live. You forget where he brought you from. Who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that, and this is the deep part here, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. A lot of folk missed that line of why he sent them through there, that he might humble you and test you, that he might do you good in the end. Some of this stuff that you're going through, and all this stuff has modern equivalents of a dry land and fiery serpents and all this. It's got modern equivalents. You're not dealing with physical snakes, but you're dealing with some snakes. So you're dealing with a different kind. And God says, all this, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. When God is directing your life, even the things that you think are rough and tough and painful, is for your good. It's for your good. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. I did this. I'm smart. I worked hard. Look, all of us are God's children. How come I got the money and they don't? It's got to be me. It's got to be my tenacity. It's got to be that I'm special. It's got to be me. And God knows folk. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Some of you got big stuff coming, but you need to start with the small stuff of saying grace when you are full, so that when your bank account goes to swelling, you can then say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have granted me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You've been good to me, Lord. You protected me. You brought me instead of, well, I'm pretty smart here. You see my degree? I have worked hard for this. And you have worked hard for it. But there's a ton of folk working much harder than you. It's a ton of folk much smarter than you. What is the difference? The difference is the favor and the grace of God. That's why you need to say you some grace when you are full. So, people, I want to challenge you just for the next 7 days. For those of you who are here and those of you who are partaking of this electronically, just for the next 7 days, every meal or thing that you eat, even if it's a glass of water. See, because it's not just the food. And that's why he goes over in Deuteronomy. You didn't grow the tree. You haven't gone out and slain a cow. You haven't, you know, wrung a chicken's neck. You haven't done any of that. You're just eating it. So he said, wells you haven't dug. All you do is turn the faucet on, your water come out. So you haven't dug a well. You haven't raised a single piece of livestock. You haven't gone out and caught a fish. Well, some of you may go fishing, but for the most part, most of the fish y'all eat, you haven't caught it. So you have not done this with your own hands, but we partake of it. And we are blessed beyond measure when you are full. So for the next 7 days, when you drink a glass of water, thank you, Lord, for this, because some places don't have clean water. And we take it for granted until you go places and you see stuff and you have so much that you don't even thank God for. So every time you eat, don't just thank him for the food. Some people can't eat because their digestive system is messed up. So not only thank him for the food that he has granted you, but just for the body that you can eat without problems. So there is so much for the next 7 days, full grace. Full grace. Full grace. Lord, I thank you for the meal that you just provided me. Not I thank you for the food that's about to nourish and strengthen our body. No, no. Now say both of them. Say your grace before, but say before and have you a grace sandwich. So that you have grace before and grace afterwards. And it changes just the vibration of how your food goes down. And when you start making this habit, God can then bless you with more and more, because he knows this is not a child of mine who will forget me after I have blessed him. Who will forget me after they in the big house? Who will forget me after they in the fine car? Who will forget me after they got the big bank account? This is not a child, and it happens to all of us. And we have to stay cognizant, and we have to stay reminded we need full grace. For after I have eaten, and after I am full, and after he has multiplied all that I have, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because you need full grace, and you need grace before and after. Full grace. Thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the Word. Amen, amen.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled, Full Grace, by Nathaniel Bronner. This message is number 2038. That's 2038. To listen to thousands of free messages, or to send this message number 2038 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you, and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because, brother, you need the Word.